Okay, Rabbi, so let's continue. Okay, Reish Aleph. I believe we're up to Reish Aleph. Okay, Reish Aleph, Heish Kuf Pei Hei. Page Kuf Pehe, the halacha Reish Aleph. I believe that's what we're up to. That is where we are up to. Okay, some strange things to awaken us from our slumber. Today we need shock therapy. We're all living in a world where you have to say the most outrageous things to get people's attention. If you just say normal things, no one pays attention. You have to say outrageous things. What did he say? What? What did I hear? Isn't that the way the world works today? Even crazy things no one says. Go on the subway. You see what goes on the subway? No pants because of the 70 degrees. It was 70 degrees. Okay, page kuf pei hey coffee. Page coffee. Cafe. Okay, Reish Pei Hei Halacha Reish Aleph.
Kofa
Aleim. Okay, we're up to Reish Aleph. We're in the middle of discussing the Sugya. Now, we all know that the Sefer Chasidim, he jumps, vacillates, wild shifts from one halacha to another halacha. That's what makes it good. Every day is a new topic. But this appears to be a continuation of what we learned last week of the law that a man is not allowed to dress like a woman. A woman is not allowed to dress like a man because that will lead to doing averos. My sabisha be isha yifas toyar, beautiful woman shalchal baderech in bala. The asa mi seor shel chaverta zokon, bizarre as can possibly be, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, and she put on a beard. Why? Because this is really Avraham Avinu. What did he tell his wife? This is one of the wonders. He said to his wife. He said that Isha Yifas Tayrat, and if the Egyptians are going to see your beauty, they're going to kill me. So therefore, he told her to lie. And by the way, let's read the halacha, and I'll tell you something very, very interesting about that. So that's an incredible thing that he told his wife to lie. Avraham Avinu, our forefather.
Technically, he wasn't lying.
What? So the brachas. Yaakov Avinu took the brachas. Ani Esav. So you pause. Ani Esav b'chayrecha. I mean, okay. It doesn't work for me. A lie is a lie. B'chochma. I mean, it is so hard to understand. It really is. It really needs hezbo.
No, his life wasn't named James, right? I mean.
Okay, but this is not. This, we're dealing over here with the avos. Yeah. We're brought up with the yisoid that the avos are.
They're real people.
Exactly. That's part of the answer. They're real people, and I guess that is the answer. Is that they struggled. They struggled the same way we struggle. And that's part of the lesson. It's true. You really said it all. But then over here, Avraham Avinu lied. He told his wife, say that you are my sister. Yitzchak did exactly the same thing. Maisa bi'isha yifas toya shaholcha baderech imbala. The asasa mi se'or shel chaverta zokon. And she made from the hair of her friend a beard. Could you believe that? It could be a shetel. So they make, instead of going to have a custom fitted beard to disguise herself, that she not be viewed as being a woman, because she would be taken. She would be taken by the goyim. V'nicha al ponim shalav. V'haroya isasavah. She ish v'nitzlon. She was spared from any attempt of anyone to go and to do an avera. Uch goyim bachurim shein lochem zokon. Malbishim big day noshim li not sell. They dressed them in women's clothing li not sell. Now, why would they want to do that? Why would Bachurim want to be dressed? I guess they would be molested. I don't know exactly what this
is.
Mishkov Zoch being molested. What, they molest boys more than they molest girls? Is that a fact?
No.
I don't know what this means. I do not know what this means. Bachurim she'ein lochem zokon malbishim big day noshim li not sell. I don't know what that means exactly. And maybe because women they had rachmanis, so they didn't kill the women, they only killed the boys, the men, they were in danger. So if they dressed the women and children, they let go. If men, young men, they're going to kill. So they had disguised them as women. So we have a story in the Gemara where he dipped his finger into chazir, into some type of non-kosher food, and he made it believe like he was sucking in the restaurant a pork. So you walk into a restaurant and you see someone there with his finger. They would dip. They didn't have utensils in those days. He dipped it into chazir, okay, whatever it was, and he was, and he made believe he was about to put it into his mouth. Right when they looked in, where are the Jews? Are there any Jews here? And they see this guy sitting at the table with pork in front of him, just about ready to put his finger into his mouth. They said, this is not a Jew. A Jew would not be dipping his finger into pork. So he was able to disguise himself as being a goy through this technique. Ichnis bidvarhu isur, the etzboy hasheni, and then when he wanted, like a magician, okay? A magician. So he dipped his finger into the chazer, and then what he really did was he quickly closed this finger and put his other finger into his mouth. And to the goy thought he was eating chazer. You're eating chazer, you're not a Jew. So therefore, sleight of hand. So this is permitted. It is permitted. And we have precedent for this from Avram Avinu and from Yitzhak Avinu, who told their wives to disguise themselves. Okay. Now there's another what? Disguise? No, you know, I'm saying disguise. To tell them that you're my brother. To lie and say that you are my sister. Now, by the way, I want to tell you a vart. This vart is a controversial vart, which not everyone likes. What is the trademark, the characteristic of the Arabs, of certainly the Palestinians, and even really of the Arabs? They're the biggest liars in the world. The lies are so outrageous. They're liars. They're just incredible, incredible liars. You're loud.
There's a term called taqiyah, which means you are—it's mutter to lie to an infidel.
Okay, I didn't know that. So you tell me it's part of their religion. Part of their religion is to lie. Yeah, klal yishol tiv emes liyakov, and their religion is to lie. So listen to this controversial vart. Where do all the Arabs come from? Hagar. Okay, Hagar is keturah. According to you can nitpick and you'll tell me no, yeah, but the pashto says, according to one approach, is that after the death of Sarah, or even before, who's Yishmael's mother? Hagar. I forget about it. Just Pasha. Who's Yishmael's mother? Hagar. Sarah saw she was an Akara, so she gave Hagar to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, he fathered. It's more fun to hold it, right? I can scream when I want to. Avram Avinu, he fathered Yishmael. It's a fact. How did Avram Avinu ever get hold of Hagar? How did Hagar ever come into the home of Avram Avinu? Paro gave Avram Avinu two gifts. He gave him the land of Goshen, and he gave him Hagar. After Avram, he took Sarah, and then Hashem smote the home of Paro. Paro took Sarah, and then that night, all of Paro's family, they could not go to the Beis Hakisei. They could not release themselves. They were in a very dangerous matzav. The family, and Hashem said to Paro, "You've taken an Eishes Ish, Avram Avinu's wife. She's not his sister. She's his wife. Return his wife." And he returned Sarah to Avraham, and in addition, it says in the words of Chazal, he gave Avraham a gift. Two gifts. The land of Goshen and Hagar as a shifcha, as a maid, an excellent maidservant. She's been trained by the best, and she's yours. So, and what came of Hagar? Yishmael. It was Nida Keneged Nida. Avraham Avinu, only reason why he ended up getting a gift of Hagar was because he lied to Paro, or he told Sarah to lie, that Avram is my brother, not my husband. Oh, you're telling me that he's your brother? Okay, so you're a free woman, you're a single woman, I can take you for myself. And then Hashem brought upon the Egyptians very severe punishment because he believed in the lie. So in response, he released Sarah and he said to Avram, I did nothing wrong, you lied to me. And to show you I have no bad feelings, here's a gift, here is Hagar. From Hagar came out Yishmael, whose essence is a lie. It was Nida Keneged Nida. Avraham Avinu lied, and Mida, Keneged Mida, he got a liar in his home. And from that liar came Yishmael, which continues to cause us enormous pain, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. And why is it controversial? What right do I have to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was punishing Avraham Avinu? You're not going to say that Chazal, that Avos did anything wrong, other than what Chazal say. The Ramban says that when Avraham Avinu, he went down to Egypt, he was a choite. He did a terrible avera, he did not show emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's enough to say Avraham Avinu, he did an avera by going to Egypt and not having emunah in Hashem.
The Shibud came across it, according to the Ramban.
Right, so that's the Ramban. So it's enough, the Ramban is the Ramban. No one can come after the Ramban and add more averas to the pie than what the Ramban already told us. To say that what Avram did, he did this bikuach nefesh, and it was permitted to do what he did, obviously, to tell Sarah to lie, but to go so far and to say that it was a consequence for this lie, that Nida, Keneged Nida, he got as a gift in exchange, Hagar, whose essence is a lie, which produced Yishmael, who's a nation of liars, to connect those two dots, is not something that you can have a right to really say unless you are a Rishon. Unless you want to say that it's not a matter of punishment, it's a reality, just a fact, or a coincidence, or you want to say that it's all included in what the Ramban said, that it was a chait to go down to Egypt, and includes all of the consequences which came along with it.
Why must you be a Rishon to say that?
That's our Messiah, because when you're dealing with
Yerushalayim,
the others,
even a later generation.
Okay, so this is the topic of Hashkafa. Hashkafa is by Bnei Torah, you're trained that the Avos are something you don't tamper with. And the ones who have the only elements of their life that we criticize, that we highlight as being chesroinus, which there are many, are things that the Rishonim have highlighted. But for us in this generation, we don't know the difference between our right and left hand. It's not for a person to write a whole book to psychoanalyze that David HaMelech was a bipolar. It's not a mahalich. What?
Rabbi Sorotskin, Olam Hashom, in his Sefer Zman HaTorah, is critical of Yitzchak. That he did not keep an eye on Esau.
Okay.
He had kept, so here you have a, he's not a Rishon.
You have to see what he says. You have to see what
he says.
Okay. All right. I can't speak for him. I can't speak for him. And there's a difference. It's a very fine line between being critical and saying there's a lesson to learn.
There is a lesson to learn.
Okay. There's a lesson to learn. But to say that to say the words, they made a mistake. They did an avera. And saying there's a lesson to learn is a very big difference.
Well, those two terms, made a mistake and doing a error,
also very different.
When you make a mistake, that's what he's...
Okay, you're right. This is way above my head, all this type of stuff. But there was one thing that you have to be very careful, and this, to a very large degree, is what differentiates Orthodox Jewry and those that are over that line. And that is the degree of sacredness that we look at our ancestors. The ancestors are not perfect. They're far from perfect. But the imperfections have already been highlighted and have been discussed and have been emphasized. And in each generation, it's their duty to take what already has been expressed as a mistake and a chait and to develop it further. But to invent create and open up new things that we have no tradition is something that in the view of traditional orthodoxy is none of our business. It's none of our business. We're not on a level, we don't view ourselves on today. This is the hashkafa that they teach in every traditional yeshiva. Have respect. Have respect for your ancestors. We have Rishonim who have told us very important things. We allow to take those words and go to town with it. If the Ramban says that Avraham Avinu did a terrible chait, a grois chait, a tremendous aver by going down to Egypt, not having faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, fear game. You want to exploit that Ramban, go right ahead, fear game. If you'll find other Rishonim who are accepted that discuss these things, fair game. And you can analyze it. But anything else, there's what to learn. And there's a fine line between saying there's a lesson to learn, we can analyze the facts, versus saying the words, they did an avera, they made a mistake, they were narrow-minded, and they were this, they were that. That in traditional Orthodox Jewry, in the world of the B'nai Torah, is off limits. It's not about being naive. It's about having respect. Having respect for our ancestors. They knew a lot that we did not know. They knew a lot more than us. Okay, that's it. So this is an idea which is controversial because of emphasizing a defect in Avraham Avinu. He lied in order to spare his wife. The consequence was he got a gift. He got a gift called Hagar. Mm-hmm. Hagar is a liar. Hagar produced a Yishmael, whose essence is to lie. Is it not a coincidence that a lie for a lie? He lied, and in response got back a person who is the biggest liar in the whole world, the Arabs, in their approach to life and their religion. It's a coincidence. Here we have over here an incredible Yisoid over here. The Sefer Chassidim does not mince words, and he goes to an extreme and he tells you, put on a beard, violate every rule in the Torah in order that, not remember, as he's saying over here, to disguise as a woman, in order that the Goyim should not abuse you, should not do these things, should not do these terrible things to you. Okay, let's go further. There was another example I learned, a very powerful Vard, which I do not remember. It goes something along the line that this idea that Avraham lied and Yitzchak lied bothered Yaakov very much. How could it be that my father lied, my grandfather lied, and then it came a point in his life, Yaakov, where he had to, when did Yaakov have to lie?
For the brachos.
There was something very more. Okay, could be that was it. There was something else. It's not what else. There was something else.
By Lavan also.
Lavan was by Lavan. Maybe that was by Lavan. What did he say to Lavan? Oh. How did he lie?
He didn't get permission.
Interesting is that each one of the avos, the Lord goes something along the lines that each one of the avos, they look at their father. Let's make believe. We're playing the game of make believe. Yitzhak Avinu, he looks at his father. Father, you lied. You actually lied. Yitzhak viewed his father as God, like, you know. Okay, there's the Ribbono Shel Olam, then there's my father Avraham Avinu. You lied? When you went, if it was me, I would never lie. I'd be Moshe Nefesh. I would give my life not to... And then look at that. He was put in the same Nisayon.
Yeah.
And then had to do the same thing. Yitzchak, Yaakov looks at his father and grandfather. I'm going to be better than them. And then in his life is also, I'm not better than them. Hashem put him in those same nisyonos. Nisyonos, guess what? I also have to lie. In order to survive, I also have to lie.
Well, when Rivka accepted, when he's about to go in, right, he has this dialogue with his mother, Rivka, right? I don't know the short version of it. But he also must have realized what he's about to do is deceptive. And she's saying, don't worry, the sin will be on me, will not be on you.
So what does that mean? That's a very difficult.
Yeah, I don't know.
These are very difficult things.
That relieved his concern about being Arvin Avera, and he said, okay.
Alai kiloscha b'ni, the curse is upon me. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. These are very difficult ideas. I don't know. All right, let's go further. We have the basic idea that this is the halacha. Halacha very space. Mi shechti yisaram goin shevi bonav minim anachem o'echad lo hamir hadas. Now we come to a new principle of person, and it's the cause. There's nothing worse than causing another person to do an avera, and there is nothing greater than causing another person to do a mitzvah. To influence a person to be good is the greatest thing you can possibly do, and the worst thing you can possibly do is to cause another person to do an avera. Influence. Influence is where all the power lies. Me, shehechti yisarabim, kigoyim, shehevi bonav ben anachi, you bring your children among the goyim, oyechad lohamir hadas. You deliberately deliver your children amongst goyim to go to an avit to see, to learn from their ways, in order that they should convert. And then he goes out and he says he wants to return. Now, in other words, the person who was machdias harabim, he now says, I'm sorry, I want to do teshuvah for causing other people to sin. So it all depends. Im shloi ba'oynis asa, goin shloi ba'atzul l'harigoy say, v'loi hichnis achedim imo lohamir. If it's not, now wait, when it says, v'hu yoytzei v'omav shvaytze loshuv, he brings the children among the nachim, v'yech lohamir hadas, and now the child wants to leave. Let's see further. Im shloi ba'oynis asa, goin shloi ba'atzul l'harigoy say, the goyim did not want to kill him, v'hu hichnis achedim imo lohamir. No one wanted to kill him. And he, on his own, he volunteered to deliver his children to the goyim. So let's review the story. A person was under no threat. Out of the goodness of his own heart, he goes on the street and he parades for Jews for Jay. Like today, okay? Out of the good, no one's forcing him to do this on his own. And then one day he wakes up and he says,
he thinks
he's right. Well, no, I don't, that could be different. That could be different. He's doing it. Let's assume he's doing it with malicious intent. I don't think he's doing it. That would be easy way out. He's doing it with malicious intent. He has it. He has an axe to grind. Okay, he has complaints against his rabbi, against his parents. So he deliberately wants to cause harm to the Jewish people. And the way he's going to harm the Jewish people is he goes out and he gets a job with Jews for Jay, and he uses his talents and creativity to persuade innocent people to become Christians, to mislead them. And then 20 years later, he wakes up and he says, what did I do? What a fool I am. What did I do? I made a big mistake. Of course, this is crazy what I did. I want to do teshuva. And you know, my father's yard site is next week. Let me come back to Shul Gesundheit. Let me come back to shul. Let me tell them I made a mistake. I only influenced 10,000 people to do averos, but I have charata. Chatasi avisi pashati. I want to come back and do tshuva, and I want an aliyah. I want an aliyah in shul on Shabbos. So they say to him, get lost. Get lost. Okay, this is what the base. This is what Sefer Chassidim says. Do we paskin like the Sefer Chassidim? I told you many times, not everything it says here do we pass on Lacha L'maisa, but let us at least appreciate what he says. And he comes back and he says, I want to do teshuvah. So they say to him, excuse me, sir, you with malicious intent, you acknowledge, you attempted to harm Klal Yisrael. Did anyone put a gun to your head and tell you to do this? No, I did this out of the goodness of my own heart. No one forced me. And now you want to do teshuva? Just say you're sorry. It's so simple. It's so simple. Kevin shuhechti yasachedim im mekalum oisai. Ad sheyoytzi oisam shechti bein anachem. They say to him, oimim loy, toytzi oisam shehecheteisa. You say to him, we're not giving you an aliyah. We're not accepting you. You're going to be banned from Klal Yisrael until you undo the damage. Or at least try. Equivalent. Undo the damage. V'im yoymar, and if we'll say, v'im yoymar, eich tid chokuni l'leches ben anachrim, I can't. It's too late. How am I going to save these people? I'm going to go amongst the goyim. I'm going to now risk my life to go amongst the goyim to find these people that I've damaged. Oymim lo, ein anu doicha kim oischa. We're not doing anything to you. You want a kapara? That's the way it goes. You went and you made a mess. Clean it up. Clean it up. And if you have to get dirty to clean it up, too bad. Too bad. Get dirty to clean it up. You're going to have to go into the church. The only way I can go and I can bring out these people, I'm going to have to go into the church and go up to the priest and say to him, "High priest, remember me? How did you get become the priest in the shul? Go to the Pope. Mr. Pope, how did you become the Pope? It was me, I convinced you. You should go have a career in Christianity." And you went, le'ela, le'ela, and you became the Pope. Guess what? I'm your Aleph Beis Rebbe. It was all a mistake. It was all a lie. So I think you should leave the priesthood. But in order to do this, you have to go into the cathedral. And you have to go over. A Jew is not allowed to walk into a cathedral. Well, in this case, you have to go into the cathedral. Because it's your mess. And you gotta clean it up. That's what he says, Siv Hasidim. Go clean up your mess. Siv Vayesa Menashe Es Yehuda. Menashe was a Russia. Menashe, he misled, he turned astray the nation of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yehuda. Uchsiv Vayosar Es Elohe HaNechar. Uchsiv, and then later on in his life he did teshuvah. Later on, as the damage was too, the damage was done. Damage was done. He couldn't really reverse what he did. He took away the Elohe HaNechar. Uchsiv Ayomer LeYehuda LaAvodes Hashem. Elokei Yisrael, Uchsiv, it says, Nom Hashem Elokeim, Shuvu. V'yashivu mikol pish eichem v'lo yelchem l'michshel avayin. You should do tshuva v'yishlichu me'alechem es kol pish eichem. Remove, cast away all of your sins. V'yashivu do tshuva v'chiyu. Shuvu atem v'shuvu v'yashivu oisam. Okay, another pasuk over here is that Hashem was telling these pasuk over shuvu v'yashivu. The second line from the top. Hashem told Menashe, it's not enough for you just to say, I'm sorry. You have to do v'hashivu. You have to be influential in causing the Jewish people to do tshuva. Okay, the next, go back to Yechezkel. Shuvu atem v'hashivu oisam shechateisem koch. So koch likewise, nem l'mumar, shesisu v'yediach, sheyoshuv oisam shechatei az yikablu, then we'll accept you. V'yayru eich lasay shuva, and then we'll teach you how to do tshuva. He's saying something that's very basic, but you should know, in today's generation, some people don't want to follow this. A person that was machti es harabim, he is out. He is out of the community. He is not taken back until he undoes the damage, or the very least, he goes through the effort of doing everything he possibly can to undo. If it's not going to work, if people don't want to come back and do tshuva, okay, well, what can you do? But at least to prove your sincerity, you have to actually invest the same amount of effort and resources in undoing what you have done, in what damage that you have done. Today, we don't like to say, today everything is sugar-coated today. Today you can have a person that is a terrible Rasha, and then if he says, oh, I want to do teshuvah, all of a sudden you'll see he's sitting next to the Gedolei Yisrael and they're giving him brachas. Okay, so does that mean that today we don't follow the Sefer Hasidim? Or today there's some hanky-panky going on and some money is being put under the table somewhere. Okay, who knows what's going on today? But the words of the Sefer Hasidim are, he's always the straight and narrow. The Sefer Hasidim, he says it the way it is. You made a mess, clean it up.
It's an extreme case, isn't it?
What?
His example, I mean, you have other people, you talk to people in shul, you talk Russian horror, you talk to him davening. His example is a very extreme one, where, I would say, what can I do? You talk Russian horror all your life, and you suddenly realize, you know, look at the damage I did to all these people. I destroyed lives, I destroyed this world. How do you
have to now invest in an organization of don't speak Lashon Hara. Yeah. You give out the Chofetz Chaim, you make speeches, you go and you drive everyone crazy. You drive everyone crazy. Look at the power of a person. I know when this fellow started off of don't talk during, stop the talking
in shul.
Stop talking in shul. So I saw this, I laugh. Well, another guy has an axe to grind. Talk, and then all of a sudden the papers, they're full page ads. bad. Where do you get the money for this? And then every week they start sending out videos. He gets all every rav in the world to talk for 5 minutes about the Chomer Hadavar. Wow, this guy, he really doesn't let up. And then the icing on the cake was, I go to the Siyum HaShas. It really blew my mind. And I think about this the whole day now. It blew my mind. Go Siyum HaShas, and I daven Mincha. And when Mincha begins, one of the first things says, we're now about that Mincha. There's a guy, a very nice voice. He made an announcement, such his voice, an incredible voice. You hear that voice?
We're now,
who's he?
The English principal.
Who? Deutsch?
Yeah.
Deutsch was the one who made the announcement? My cousin?
He
wow, I didn't know that. Unbelievable. Deutsch? Deutsch is married to my first cousin. An announcer, wow, what I wouldn't believe. Wow, thank you for telling me that. I cannot believe this. Yankel Rashavshik's son-in-law. You know who Yankel Rashavshik is? He lives over here in the neighborhood. You know who he is.
Yeah.
His son-in-law, Mr. Marillis.
Yeah, he lives on 18th and the dead
end. Yankel.
So his son-in-law was the announcer. How did he connect to the Agud to get that job? Unbelievable. So he was the announcer. Unbelievable.
That's
so what
Yankel's brother that told
him? Yes. So Jack's son-in-law, his oldest son-in-law, is the one who made the announcements. Unbelievable. Wow, I never would have known. Look, it took me years to learn that it's Pesach Kron who begins every single Torah Anytime Shir. You're listening to a Shir. What does it say? You're listening.
Yeah.
So who is that guy? It took me 10 years to learn. You know who that person is? Pesach Kron. How come I didn't chap? It took me so many years to figure out it was Pesach Kron. I just don't have an ear for this. Anyway, what did he say? He said, we're now about to begin Mincha. And Avi basically said, I don't have the exact words, it's a very inspiring thing for 90,000 people to have Mincha together. And you should take the inspiration of this moment, sacred moment, of what's happening here with you into the future, and make it into a reality, stop the talking in shul, a reality. It was part of the program. And they said it again by Ma'ariv. And I think they said it after the Mincha. They said it four times. Like, wow, look at that. One person that does not let up on his desire to do good. And even though the whole world laughed at him, when he started just, you know, writing articles and putting advertisements, big advertisements, Ad Kedei Kach, he got to the Siyum HaShas. And when they dive in Mincha Ma'ariv, it echoes in everyone's word. In my mind, it echoes, stop the talking in shul. It's an amazing thing how far you can go. So a person that was a choyte machti, let's say, to go to the other extreme, to be a mashpia, not to do that specific avera. It's an incredible. I'm not saying the person who has the organization of don't stop talking during davening once upon a time was influential in talking during davening, but just look at the power of being mashpi upon a person, and the Sefer Chassidim, he does not mince words, and he says, you made a mess, clean it up, and until you clean it up, don't expect us to sugarcoat you and to kiss you and you chayzeh b'shuva. Oh, we'll take you to Reb Chaim, we'll give you brachas and this and that. That's not the way it works. You commit a crime, there are consequences. Okay, you're out. You're out of the community until you clean up your mess. Next, Rish Gimel, Mishay Merdas, V'chaz Aliyos Yehudi, a person that was off the derech, and he did tshuva. The kibul of Lasa is tshuva kasher yoyru chachomim. Harei misho shekibul yochom l'shtoy simo yayin. Now this is a whole controversial topic in and of itself. Each halacha here is a very good topic of discussion. You invite a person who is in the process of being choyzer b'shuva to your home, and you have on the table yayin that's not mevushal. So do you have to watch him from touching the wine that's not? If a goy touches a bottle of open wine that's not mevushal, you can spill it down the drain. Okay, no matter how expensive it is, there's no heter. Okay, if you have a bottle of wine, a $400 bottle of wine, that's not mevushal, and a guy comes into your house, and he touches the bottle, finished, that's it, the wine is down the drain. A guy.
Even if it's closed.
Even if it's closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's closed, but it's not sealed.
And it's not sealed.
It's not sealed.
No, in front of you, not in front of you. If you have a maid, and you know as the fact that the bottle of wine is it was opened and it's not sealed, and you come back and the wine is not in the same place, in the garbage. It doesn't matter. Even shaking, that's halacha. Even though we know that no one today is bowing down to idols, no one today is taking wine and pouring it a libation, the halacha does not change. The halacha does not change unless the bottle is sealed. There's a chashash that when they shake, this halacha, it's just a matter of halacha. It's a matter of this is the way it is, whether we like it or not. Done, the done deal.
If you add sugar to wine, does that make it sugar?
What?
If you add sugar to wine.
To eat sugar, I don't think so. I don't think so, but
like,
I don't think so.
I
don't think it makes a difference if the wine is not mevushel. So what about now? So far, that's a goy, a non-Jew. What about Shabbos across America? What about Project Inspire, where everyone is told they stop doing this now? They stop doing this locally. Only do it in a hotel now. But they used to tell people, if you don't invite your non-religious neighbor for a Suda Shabbos, you're going to go to Gehenna.
Yeah.
You better make sure you invite your non-religious neighbor on the block. He's a Jew. He's a Jew. It's your responsibility to introduce him to Yados. You should not be you should leave this world having at least an appreciation of Yados. Don't let him just wither away. Whatever he'll have, but he should, in his mind, he should leave this world with an appreciation of the beauty of Yados. Okay? I'll invite him. I did this to my neighbor. He looks at me, I give him my little vineshtrik, take him to the sukkah. All right, whatever it's worth, it's worth. So, and on the table is a bottle of wine that's not mevushel. He's Jewish. He may even come from the best yichos. He may even tell you that he's a ben achar ben from this rabbi called Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. Okay? I know that I am a descendant, Ben Ach, I'll tell you, this rabbi called Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki. Who is Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki? Rashi. It's not a joke. Meisim b'chol yom like this. So you take him into your house, and he touches your bottle of wine that's not mevushel. What's the halacha? There is no answer. There is no answer. Some say a Jew is a Jew. You don't have to, it's okay. And some say no, if he's not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, he has the status of a non-Jew, and it's yeah, and the halacha is, it's yayin, wine goes down the drain.
How do we hold?
I think we're lenient. More or less we're lenient. More or less.
There was in Israel, there's a binary which was using kids which were not fully
not religious. Not religious in the
and they were not fully
observant.
Mental too.
What?
Like they were not like
they were Shabbos. Shabbos.
Yeah.
They were using a winery in a wine press in the business, they were using workers that were not religious. And the process, they touched the wine, they touched the machinery, they touched the whatever. So the question is, does that mean all the wine in the whole thing, $1 million down the drain because Yayin Nesach? So I'm sure they paskin, no, it's not.
Yeah.
They would make them.
Yeah.
But did they? Were those workers dismissed?
If you go to the Yayin,
the Stama, they were dismissed.
If you go to Yayin Winery, after the tour, you sit down at a bar and they give you the guys that are pouring the wine into your...
Is the wine not mevushel?
It's
not mevushel. A lot of the fancy wine is mevushel. A lot of the fancy.
Taste test.
So it's not so simple. If they're not,
it's always the fanciest wine they have.
No, so you have to ask.
They don't have yarmulkes on these guys. I mean, they're Israelis, but they don't have yarmulkes.
Just because they don't have yarmulkes on, there are different levels. Are they traditional? Are they? Is there a shemitz of Shemesh Shabbos?
They tell you right away, they said, this wine,
it's
you have to be very careful.
Okay, so
Anachanami. I don't remember which
one. I don't know, it's not a symbol.
So
also, there are different levels. There are different levels. In this question I just mentioned to you, there are different levels. If you have a Jew in Eretz Yisrael that is respectful, he's traditional, he observes Yom Kippur, and he's respectful, that is a different level than someone, a chiloni, that's out to get you. Okay, that doesn't want to know from religion. You know, someone like Lapid, It's a different level. Even Lapid, they'll tell me there are certain elements about him that are good, that are redeeming, which make him not into the typical. Just because of politics. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. Politics is about money. It's about money. It's not about religion. He'll claim, so in a chanami, if he claims he loves everyone, it's just about money, it's about responsibility. Maybe in a chanami, in halacha, if he touches your wine, it's fine. So it's extremely complicated. Every person is different, but there's obviously a difference between a person that's a shomer Shabbos and a person that's a mechalel Shabbos. Okay, that's a line that you can't, that's a different line. Amongst those that are mechalel Shabbos, now you're in trouble because they touched the wine. Now you want looking for a heter. So looking for a heter, so what kind of mechalel Shabbos is he? A tinik shenishba? Is he a lahaches? Is he married to a goy? Is he married to a shiksa? Okay, these are all very complicated issues. But there is such, now here we're discussing an extreme. We got a fellow here who's the Pope. Okay, he's the Pope. He's a priest. He's a bishop. He's a cardinal. He's in the business. He's the real deal. And he touches your wine. And now he comes and he says, oh, you know what? I gave up the priesthood. I want to give up. Guess what? From the first moment that is mekabel to be chozer b'shuva, he can touch your wine. Very lenient.
He says the lotion is not to servants, it's a lishna. So it means if I have yain, it's mubosho.
Same idea.
If I read Persian language, it means can I sit down to drink with him at all?
It means the same idea. I hear what you're saying. It's an expression. Normally, chazon is a lishna. It means to touch. It means the idea of yain esach. That's what it means. L'choy, what it means. I hear what you're saying. It's not precise. You want to read something else into the words? Normally,
I'm reading the
postulate. Yeah, I know. Normally, when you have this expression, it's referring to the status of a yayin nesach. Because if you drink the other wine, it means you're going to touch the wine. Or the spalimai, and you let him come into the shul, imhu mashlum es aminyin, yispalimai. How do we know? He brings a source. Over here, I see the same chassidim. The maila of him is, he doesn't just say a boich svar, he doesn't just say a svar from his stomach. He brings sources, and he says the Chazal tell us that the ami haaretz, if they touch something, it's tame yikra. If an amaretz touches something, you don't trust amaretz. But on the sholosh regalim, when they come to the Beis Hamikdash, there's no amaretz. Kol Yisrael chaverim. Everyone has the status of a chaver. Their meiser is good. We believe them. They're upgraded. If a person comes to you and says, I want to do teshuva, it's no different. It's a yomtif. It's no different than it's a regel. It's a yomtif. And we trust the person. His yayin is not yayin nesach. He can come into shul. He can be part of a minyan. Now, if you read between the lines, what is the Sefer Chassidim teaching you? That a Jew who is irreligious cannot be mitzaref to a minyan. And this, again, is another major machlekes hapoiskim. It happens all the time. You need a minyan, and you don't have, and you want to use someone who's not a shomer Shabbos for the minyan. Okay, if a waiter, sheva brachas, not only do you want him for the minyan, you want him to do the panim chadashos. Okay, and he's Jewish, but he's totally irreligious. He has no clue of what's going on. Okay, can you use him to be a minyan in the cemetery? Cemetery, you want to say Kaddish. So what is the answer? The answer is yes, when you have no choice, people do it. You have no choice. When you have no choice, you do a lot of things that you never would imagine you would do. You do a mitzvah tanz.
Can you give an idea?
What?
If he's a Kohen, he's the only Kohen in the shul.
Can you give an idea? Does he know how to say the bracha? Does he know how to say the bracha?
He knows, but he's not religious. He tells you, look, I'm not religious.
It's a tough call. It's a tough call. I don't know the answer. I don't think there is an answer. I think there is a machlokes. It all depends on the situation. Someone who's gay. Okay, someone who's married to another man, and he davens in the shul, and he wants an aliyah. Do you give an aliyah? Openly does averis. He's married, publicly married. You give an aliyah? So what do you do? So in Flatbush, they're not giving an aliyah. Not in Flatbush. He's not going to get an aliyah in Flatbush. Not in Bar Park and not in Lakewood. Not in Lakewood. But let's say you go to Vermont. You go to Arizona. You go to South Carolina. They give an aliyah? It's very likely they'll give an aliyah. it's very likely he will give an aliyah, provided that he doesn't promote his way of life.
I think that's what they're
possibly. He just quiet. He sits in the audience. He doesn't bother anyone. He doesn't go put up signs. You know, I'm married to. He doesn't go make a big deal about it. Live and let live. If he's from that type, you'll hear the psak halacha is give him an aliyah. Once an aliyah, give him an aliyah. If he's a type of person that is promoting this type of lifestyle, he's poison and get rid of him. Spit him out. No matter how much money he gives to the shul, spit him out. If he says he says that this, he claims this is, some will say it's a choyli, some will say this, some will say that. Live and let live. Where? Out of town. In Flabish and Bar Park, it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen in this community, no way. Places that are in between. You go to Florida. Some place, it's Nishli and Nishtaher, you know it's somewhere in the middle. Okay? You go to some place in New Jersey. Okay? It's close enough to New York where they're influenced by the Haredim of New York and Lakewood, but it's a little bit out of town. So those places you'll hear a discussion.
Yeah, but that's less for me. But not a religious Jew comes in a show and is, let's say, Kohen. If you don't give him an aliyah or something, you don't respect him, you're pushing him in further.
So maybe you are pushing him further. So who says you're obligated to do it? Whoever said you're obligated to accommodate every irreligious person in the name of Kiruv? Who says? There's Kiruv Rechaikim is the most beautiful thing in the world, but it does not come at the expense of diluting your standards of religion. Everything in life has to be in balance. And the balance for every community, every society is different. What goes on in Flatbush is not the same what goes on out of town. In Flatbush, there's a higher standard. We want to be Mekarver Chaikim. You're not Shemesh Shabbos. We're not giving you an Ali. I'm sorry. We're not giving you an Ali over here. Why? Because it's a disgrace to the people in this community. There's a higher standard. We're not going to dilute what it means, the Kiddush, the sanctity of Shemir Shabbos in this community. Oh, but we're going to alienate you. We're going to insult you. We can't solve the world's problems. You can't solve everyone's problems. There are law and standards. And if you're hurt, you're insulted, we apologize, but that's the way the world is. Out of town, it's a different life. It's a different approach, a different goal. There is no halacha on these matters. The funniest is one of the stories, the famous story, I don't remember the details, but the Pesach Kron probably said over, maybe it was Y.Y. Jacobs said over, about a woman who went to Yad Vashem. I think it was Yad Vashem. I don't remember the details. And she wanted to say Kaddish. She wanted, it was a yard site. I don't remember the details. And she said, she was talking to Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam, I want to say Kaddish here. Maybe went to Auschwitz. I don't remember what it was. And she started talking to Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam, I came all the way here from Brooklyn on the yard site. This is not right. I want a minion for Kaddish. What kind of business is this? She was like making demands. And sure enough, 5 seconds later, in walks eight people, eight from people. So true, this was, I don't know, it was a famous one that was on online a couple of years ago. And then she says, Ribbono shel Olam, we need two more. Excuse me. 2 minutes later, it walks in two people who are not Shemesh Shabbos. So she says, Ribbono shel Olam, thank you very much, but you know, the Niftar, who I came here, he was a tired person. I think for him, he deserves Shomer Shabbos, a million of Shomer Shabbos people. And sure enough, 2 seconds later, two people of Shomer Shabbos walk in. Okay, so he says this story, okay, and it was an amazing story, and so maybe I think Pesach Kron, one of the big Magidim, it was, I'm sure none of you must have heard this somewhere. It's amazing. So in the story, she basically was saying the halacha. I mean, she didn't realize what she was saying is, b'di'eved, you could have a minion of people that are not Shemesh Shabbos also. But l'chatchila, you want a minion of Shemesh Shabbos. So over here, the Sefer Chassidim is taking a very hard line here.
Better than davening without a minion?
What?
To have two non-frum.
That's better, of course. Of course. Shaila is even, are you even allowed to? Because they're not going to answer. Amen necessarily, and they, you know, they're not Shabbat Shabbos. So you have a min, you say a brach l'atala, you say chazar sashatz. That's what simply you want to say chazar sashatz. They're not going to answer. Amen. These are all very big
you
questions.
You heard the story of Rabbi Gifter. Rabbi Gifter had the same story. You never heard?
No. Oh, very quick. I want to say enough.
Rabbi Gifter guy, what happened was there was a porter in Washington National Airport who was not from at all.
Yeah.
And he had a chalom from his father. His father had a yahrzeit that night. And his father wanted him to say kaddish. He said, no.
I'll get you the minion. You just go there.
You heard this, sir?
Yeah, I'll get you the minion. And what happened? Rav Gifter was delayed. The plane was delayed.
Thunderstorm. They couldn't come into New York.
These are funny stories. Why do you have to suffer because of this guy? I hear the story. It's an amazing story. But the bottom line is, these were inconvenienced in a very significant way from their learning, from doing things, because this guy needs the minion. Isn't it a little strange? Look, I went to Eretz Achayim. My parents are buried in Eretz Achayim. Eretz Achayim, they have an amazing thing. They have a koilam. Where in the world do you have a cemetery that has on the premises a koilal?
Chabad
does this?
Okay.
Okay, very good. They have a cemetery, and in the cemetery, there's a koilal. There's a base medrash, a koilal. So they told me, you go there, and part of the deal is, you go there, the mechuyif, that anyone who ever wants, you take 10 people from the koilal, there's a koilal, only 20 people in the koilal, and they'll go with you to the kever, and they'll say a kaddish. So I come there, I go to the kever, and I go in there, I go into the koilal, I open the door. Wow, look, they're really learning. Not like in America, drinking coffee. They're really learning, these guys. They're really learning. So the guy sees a stranger there, so he says to me, you everything okay? You know where the kever is? I says, yeah. He says, you want them to go out and say Kaddish? So I look around, I say, I'm going to go take these people from learning to say a Kaddish? I got to be crazy. It's a much bigger zechus for my parents. They should continue learning. I said, no. Continue learning. And I put the money in the pushka for the koila. No. I'm not here to be mevatel you from learning, for my kaddish. You stay and learn. You continue learning. And I told this to men, and everyone that said this to me is, you did the correct thing a million times over. A million times over. Adarab is a much bigger chus. Okay, we're all out of lunch. Let me just say for 5 minutes. Let's not take a big one. 5 minutes. I'll tell you a very short story. I wanted to talk about bris milah. Okay, very, a whole thing on.